Amen, amen. All right, well, this is our second part of our series, Days of Future Past. And last week, I opened up with this question. I took some time to inquire of some young adults to see what they had to say. And it's always fun to hear what young people have to say and what they think about different things. I don't even have to bring it up. I used to bring it up because I happen to be a little bit political, but I don't bring it up anymore. This political situation that we got right now is so controversial. You know, you just go anywhere and you're hearing about Trump and Hillary, and it's just interesting to hear what people have to say and think about what's going on. But at any rate, I asked some young adults, and I asked this question last week. I said, all right, if silkworms create silk and bees make honey, then what do humans make? What does God call them to create? And I found it interesting and funny to find how many people said, people, they make babies. That's what people make. We make babies. Well, yes, we do make babies. And yes, you are called by God to make babies. If you read carefully Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you'll find that we are definitely called to procreate the earth. But think about that question for just a moment, because, you know, silkworms, they also make other silkworms. But they produce silk. Bees, they make other bees, but they also produce honey. So what is it that we've been called to produce? How would you answer that question? And the answer, we answered it this way, is that God has called you and I to create futures. God has called you to create the future that you will experience in your life in the days to come, in the months to come, in the years to come. Amen. And I think it's important that we understand this. Otherwise, we're going to, approach life a little too carelessly, a little too nonchalantly. And I think sometimes that there's too many people who are victims of just going through life and not doing life on purpose. And so they just get whatever comes their way. Does anybody here just want to get what comes their way? Or does somebody here want to get what God has for them to get? Come on. And the way you're going to get what God has for you to get is by doing life on purpose and understanding that you've been created to create a future. How many of you realize this too also today, and we said this last week, that you know what, the future that you create will not just be your experience, but the lives that you touch, they will experience the decisions that you are making today, right? And so it's very important, it's very, that we understand what's going on. And we also said this last week that, you know what, God, okay, so really, I mean, as I look at this, as I was studying, I kind of really began to realize that really what God is trying to say is God wants us to do life on purpose. God, not just to go nonchalantly through life. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15, and this is familiar because this is our foundational verse for this series. And let's just look at it one more time and see what it says here, because it really, it's not a big verse, it's not a long verse, it's really not all that deep, I suppose, but it's full of revelation that will bless our lives. And so he says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. In other words, that you walk carefully, that you're careful on how you approach life. Notice what he says next. He says, not as a fool, but as somebody who's wise. So the differentiating characteristic that God wants us to understand between somebody who is foolish and somebody who is wise is a person, okay, who considers what's coming up ahead and understands that the decisions, that the things that they think, the things that they say, and the things that they do have consequences. Y'all follow me. All right, there's a whole lot of different characteristics that separate foolish people from wise people. Isn't that right? Right? But the one that God is trying to get across to us today in this verse is, hey, foolish people approach life carelessly, and they don't think about the fact that the things that they think, the things that they say, and the things that they do have consequences. Wise people understand this. And so wise people approach life considering the steps of their feet, considering the decisions that they're going to make, considering the path that they're going to take, understanding, okay, that they're responsible for their future. So he says, so don't live life like that. Live life wisely. Live life carefully, thinking about what's ahead, doing life on purpose. And then he explains further in verse number 16, he says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Hey, listen, we're living in a time and a generation where God is looking for the people of God, the church of God, the body of Jesus Christ to rise up and make a difference. Thank you for that one amen. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Deborah talked about it in our Revive series. She talked about, you know, she was saying, you know, Revive, she's like, I don't know about Revive. Revive is cool, but I kind of like a revolt. I kind of like the idea of a revolution. She's like, how many young people are, and see this is what I'm talking about. It's just political all over the place right now. She's like, how many young people feel the burn, right? How many young people are into Bernie Sanders? If you're not, please don't get offended, all right, because we're not here to be political. But she was talking about how, you know, Bernie Sanders is, you know, kind of doing this revolution, if you will. But rather than Bernie Sanders leading the revolution, or Donald Trump, or Hillary Clinton, or I don't know, Beyonce, or Justin Bieber, or Cristiano Ronaldo and his new girlfriend. What do you say that the church should rise up and begin to start a revolution and bring the kingdom of God and the will of God into the earth? Hey, listen, guys, that's really what we should desire. That's really what we should want. We shouldn't be satisfied with just whatever comes our way. And you would say, you know what, Pastor Joe, well, what do I do? What is God going to do about it? Well, the truth is that God is waiting for you and I to do something about it. You know, Jabin said in our Revive series, and I thought it was so good, he said, you know what, God will never do for you what you can do for yourself. Now, I wouldn't say that as a blanket statement, because there has been some times where I should have done some things that God came and covered me. Come on, can I get an amen, okay? But generally speaking, okay, God doesn't do for you what you can do for yourself. God has called us to rise up, and God has called us to make a difference. God has called us to bring the kingdom of God and the will of God into the earth, and to create the future that he desires for your life and for mine and for us as the body of Christ. All right, it doesn't happen by itself. Did you ever notice when you read the Great Commission and Jesus says things like, hey, I want you to go and make disciples. I'm not going to do it. Jesus, that would kind of been funny if you said, I'm not going to do it, because that's really what you're saying. We're called to do it. You know, there's this really cool verse, and it's really kind of one of those deep verses and one of those, you know, extravagant verses, but I really like it, and it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 10, and this is what it says. I'm just going to read it to you real fast, okay? It says that God's intent is that his manifold wisdom might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. God's wisdom is to be made known by who? The church. By you and by me. To the powers that be. You know, there's another verse, and people have warned me about giving too much verses, and so I apologize if I'm losing you, but I think that you're getting the point. I hope you're getting the point tonight. Jesus says the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. In other words, as Christians, as we're living this life, okay, we're going to face opposition. We're going to face tribulation. Anybody here come across a hater in life, all right? You are not alone. And Jesus said, you know, if they hated me, and if they persecuted me, and if they attacked me, and if they threw me under the bus, right, Jamal, right? Is that what we're talking about today? We're talking about thank God for all the people that threw me under the bus this week. And thank God for all the bus drivers who found it funny to run over me when they threw me in front of that bus. Okay, we've all experienced it. And so he says, so the kingdom of God, you and I, we suffer this oppression, we suffer violence, but you and I as Christians are supposed to, with the force of God, you know, with the weapons of our warfare, we are supposed to lay hold with spiritual force the things that God has called us to lay hold of and bring into the earth the things that God has called us to. But it's not going to happen on its own, and that's my point. All throughout the Bible, we'll find these truths that God has called you and I to be the ones to make the difference. And again, we said this last week, but you know what? You don't want the future that you can create. All right, we're talking about doing life on purpose, right? We're talking about the decisions that I make don't only affect my life today, but have the ability to reach into my future and shape my future and the future that others will experience, okay? But you and I don't just want to decide for ourselves what is best for ourselves. We want what God has for us. And so we've been talking about building the future that God has for you and for me. Okay, so let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. Let's read it again. It says, see then that you walk carefully, not as a foolish person, but as a wise person. He says, redeeming the time. And today I want to talk to you a little bit about redeeming the time. And we're going to focus on faith, okay, because faith is required to redeem the time. Okay, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does it mean to redeem the time? It means to take every opportunity that comes your way and use it for the glory of God. Take every opportunity that comes your way and use it to build the kingdom of God. Every opportunity to bring God's will into the earth. Every opportunity to create the future you know that God has for you. Don't miss out on opportunities. How many of you here have ever missed an opportunity? Right? Antonio showed me this one video of, in fact, I think we played it here. What's his name? Jimmy Fallon? Is it Jimmy Fallon? Or was it? Man, you're leaving me hanging right here. You don't know what I'm talking about? You're talking, Jimmy Fallon, Nicole Kidman, remember? Was it? Anyways, Jimmy Fallon brought Nicole Kidman onto his show and was questioning her, and then she happened to open up and admit that she used to have a crush on him. She's like, "Hey, remember that one time I came over to your house and with this other guy and we were talking, we were having a good time?" She's like, "Yeah, I had a crush on you, but you just never paid me any mind." He was like gasping for air. He's like, In fact, she tried to go on with the conversation because she wanted to move on to other things because she had a man after all, you know, by that time. And he's like, wait. Did I hear you right? I actually had a chance to date Nicole Kidman. He missed the opportunity. But how many of us in life have missed opportunities? We all have. Okay, so me and Antonio have missed opportunities. The rest of y'all are liars, okay? And the reality, we've all missed opportunities. You know what the reality is that for the rest of our lives, there will be times where we look back and we wish we capitalized on an opportunity, okay? Now, I know I talked about Jimmy Fallon and Nicole Kidman, but we're talking about spiritual opportunities. Amen. Just want to be clear, okay? And so this is not to bring anybody into a place of condemnation, but to make us more aware of the opportunities that come our way. And God says, don't just let them pass you by, but make the most of them. Make the most of the opportunities that come your way. Build something, do something, go somewhere. Don't just sit back and allow life to happen, all right? And so today what I want to talk to you about is, I already said it, faith, but how to make the most of every opportunity. Is that all right? How do I make the most of the opportunities that come my way? I'm glad you asked, because that's what this message is about. Point number one is, you're going to have to live a life of faith. You make the most of the opportunities that come your way by living in them and taking advantage of them and buying them up, okay, by faith. In fact, I forgot to read it, but can you guys just pop it up one more time? Look at what Ephesians 5, verse number 15 says in the Amplified Version, okay? I wanted to read it, and I forgot. It says, look carefully then how you walk. We've read this verse like 50 billion times already this series, but we're just going to make sure you got it, okay? All right? Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Verse number 16. No, that's the New King James Version. All right, here we go. Here it is. It says, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. All right? So we see this idea of making the most of every opportunity, buying them up. And the way to buy them up, okay, is by living a life of faith. God has called you to live a life of faith. That is what God is looking for from you, is a life of faith. All throughout Scripture, over and over and over again, you find this subject of faith. The Old Testament and the New. In fact, the New Testament, in a very faith-filled chapter, talks about an Old Testament Scripture that talks about faith. And so all throughout the Bible, we find God's called us to live a life of faith. You know, I kind of wish I had taken more advantage of it, but maybe I missed an opportunity. I don't know. But there's this really cool story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 18. He talks about this unjust judge, and he's got this widow who's coming and nagging him, all right? And she wants him to do something about her situation. Well, he doesn't do it, but because of her continual coming, he's like, all right, fine, I guess I'm going to have to do something about this because she's just bugging me to death. And then Jesus says, notice what the unjust judge did. He took care of the widow's situation. But God is not unjust. And if the unjust judge took care of the widow, how many of you realize, Jesus says, that God being just is going to take care of you? He will answer the prayers of his people. And then he makes this statement right after that, verse number 8. Nevertheless, when I return, He's talking about the last days. Those are the days that we're living in. When I return, he says, will I find faith in the earth? Am I going to find a people who believe God? That's right. He's going to find it at the Rock Church. Okay, but now you got to live your own personal life of faith and not try to jump on the faith of the Rock Church. Am I going to find a people of faith? Or is this going to be a generation of, you know, doubters, a generation of skeptics, a generation of people who don't believe anything? How many realize we are getting to a place in time where we have a generation that doesn't believe in anything? Will I really find faith in the earth? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. I know that's a bunch of verses, but we're talking about faith, okay? You can handle it. Amen. God, I don't understand everything Pastor Joe is saying, but I just trust that I'm getting what you want me to get. Amen. And he says here, the Bible says here, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Wow. Anybody here want to be pleasing to God? Live a life pleasing to God. He says, but without faith, you can't please God. Faith is a must. In order to buy up the opportunities, I have to live by faith. He says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, simply put, for we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we live our lives by faith, and we don't live our lives by what we see. Or in other words, by, you know, our natural senses. That's a good word right there. What does it mean to live a life of faith? Okay, God does not want you and I living life based on our natural human senses. What we can see, what we hear, how we feel. Hey, feelings are real. I'm not saying that feelings are, God gave you feelings for crying out loud. Feelings are real and they're legitimate. But ultimately when it comes down to it, God's not called you to live by your feelings. God has called you to live by faith. God has not called you to live by your own human reasoning. We are living in a generation today that is exalting human reasoning. And don't get me wrong, because God gave you a brain. Amen. And he gave it to you so you could use it. Amen. It's a tool that God gave you to bless your life. But how many realize that when my reasoning and my understanding comes to a place where it begins to contradict God's understanding, God's wisdom, God's direction, then that's time for me to come along and bring my reasoning to bow its knee and bring it into subjection to what God has to say. I may not understand what God has to say. It may not add up what God has to say. I might not like what God has to say. But ultimately, I've got to bring myself under what he has to say. So we're not supposed to live this way. We're supposed to live by faith. Without faith, nothing's going to work in your life. It's impossible to please God. Jesus is looking for faith, and we find that the way that we're supposed to live is by faith. Without it, life just doesn't work. And I believe that you're going to begin to see why in just a moment, because I think that we need to, first of all, understand what faith is. You come to church. I remember going to church. I remember going to Bible college. There's all these people talking about how faith blessed their life and faith this and faith. I remember this one guy who's like, faith is like... And I was like sitting on the edge of my seat like, I'm ready for it. It's like a hand. I was like, all right, faith is a hand. And it reaches from this visible world into the invisible world. And it grabs the things of God. And it brings it into the visible world. I'm like, how do you do that? How do you? And he's right. Okay, but what is faith? Bible dictionaries describe it, the concordance describes it this way. Faith is a persuasion, a firm persuasion. Faith defines it this way, a conviction. I like this one because I think this one is most easily understood. Faith is to believe. That's what faith is. God has called you and I to live a life of believing. Now, you need to understand something, okay? God has not just called you to believe in God. That is faith. But you can't stop there because that's like, you know, bottom of the barrel. That's like faith 101, like, right? Like, okay, so you're going to have to do more than just believe in God. What it means to live a life of faith is it means to believe what God has to say about your particular life and situation. believe what God has said, believe what God is saying, and then live by what he said. That's what it means to live a life of faith. It means to believe, oh, Pastor Joe, what has God said? Or what is God saying? Well, you have a whole Bible full of what God has said and what God is saying. Y'all follow me today. Have I lost you? Has anybody got home yet? This book is God's what? Word. And it's just as pertinent today as it was the day that it was written. And what God's word has to say today will speak to your life and will speak to mine. And when you come across a verse that says something to your life, whether you are looking for it or not, some of you guys, you find yourself in a situation today, you don't know what to do. And it's time to go to God's word and search out what God wants you to do. And when you find it, God wants you to believe it. Some of you today, you're not necessarily searching for anything. And that's okay, I suppose. Okay? You're just reading your Bible, and God is just speaking to you through the word of God. What do I do with that, Pastor Joe? Believe it. Believe what God has said. That's what living a life of faith is all about. It's believing what God has said and then living by it. So what do you believe today? You know the Bible has something to say about every area of your life. Really? It really does. Something about every. So what do you believe today? Do you believe today? Young people, that God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because that's what he said. Do you believe it? Do you believe today? 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed. Do you believe it? Because that's what God's word has to say about your body and about your health. Do you believe today that the person who started the good work in you, Jesus Christ, will be faithful to complete it in you today? Because that's what God's word has said, and you've got to believe it. Do you believe it? That's what it means to live a life by faith. Now, how many of you realize today that without believing something, you will never do something? Do you see then why without faith, life with God doesn't work? The decisions that you make today and the things that you do today, you do because you believe in those things. Right? Right? Like, you're not out there doing stuff that you don't believe in. Does that make sense? When's the last time you heard of a woman go to the altar and she's like about to get married and she's like, I don't believe in you. I don't believe in this love. I don't believe in this relationship. I don't even believe in our future, but I'm just going to marry you. That's like the stupidest thing you've ever heard of, right? No, she's going up there because she believes in the love. She believes in the man. She believes in the relationship, and she believes in the future. And without believing, you will never live out and walk out the life that God's called you to live out. And so that's why faith is so important, because what you believe opens up the door for then you to do. And without it, God help you if you're doing things you don't believe in. I guess we've all kind of found ourselves there before. Isn't that right? All right. So look, hearing God's word, believing it, that's a life of faith. All right. But if we stop there, it would be incomplete. And so point number two is this: we need to act according to our faith. It's one thing to believe the right things, and then it's another thing to live based on those beliefs. How many realize today we could say, we could make that statement, no woman goes up to get married in a person that she doesn't believe in, okay? But then at the same time, how many realize that, you know what, you can believe a whole lot of things and then never do anything with those beliefs? I can believe that God wants to, you better believe that God wants to get you a job. Especially you gentlemen, amen. All right. I believe God wants me to get a job, and I believe that he's going to provide it for me. But as long as you sit on your butt and you never apply, what good did that faith do for you? Y'all follow me, right? So what are we saying? That faith, okay, is made complete not just when you hear what God has to say and believe it, but then when you allow those beliefs to govern your life, what you think, what you say, and what you do. That's what it means to live by faith, and that's what God's called you to do. He's called you to allow your beliefs to govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. What good is it for me to say, I believe in forgiving, but then I don't forgive? What good is it for me to say, you know, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but then I'm not going to speak in tongues? What good is it to believe and then never do anything with what you believe? I believe God wants me to go to college. And you never do anything with that belief. See, faith without works is dead. Or in other words, it is not going to produce anything. So I guess maybe the question we need to ask ourselves again is, what do I believe? And then am I allowing what I believe to dictate what I do in my life? What do I believe? And am I allowing those beliefs to govern what I think, what I say, and what I do? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church, and he's talking about, you know, the things that he has endured. But then he's saying, you know, even though, you know, death is working in us, life is working in you. But you know what? We have the same faith as you do and the same hope as you do. And he makes this incredible statement. Where did I tell you to go? 2 Corinthians what? Just making sure y'all paying attention. I have it on my paper. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. Notice what he says here. He says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. Do you see here how faith is dictating what they are saying? Hello? I believed, and therefore, or as a result of what I have believed, I am now acting. I am now thinking. I am now speaking. I am now doing. And the moment that we put faith into action is the moment that God goes to work in our life. One more time. The moment we put faith into action, the moment we start to speak. How many of you realize today that you are saved by faith, because you spoke something? You said, Jesus, I just asked you to come into my heart and my life. And you were saved the moment you asked God. The Bible says you believed in your heart and you spoke. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Guess what? It works the same way with every other faith endeavor. You hear what God has to say. You believe it, and the moment you release your faith through action is the moment God goes to work in your life. So he says, we have the same spirit of faith, and I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Faith is dictating their actions. And faith should dictate ours. The moment that we step out, and the moment we act on our faith, is the moment God goes to work. Which brings us to our last point today. Is everybody okay today? Our last point today is to understand the process of faith. Look, if we're going to seize, if we're going to take advantage of every opportunity, it's going to require a life of faith. What is faith? Believing what God has said. Oh, but not just believing what God has said, acting as a result of what we believe. But then we need to understand this, okay, that faith has a process. And once you have believed God, and then once you have gone into action as a result of what you believe, how many realize that does not mean that you're going to see the harvest or the manifestation that or the blessing that God has for you right then in that moment? It did happen with salvation, and it will happen with certain things. But there are some things you're going to ask God for, you're going to step out in faith about, and you're not going to see them right away. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching real good right now. Because there's some things in my life I've asked God for and I believe God for, and I didn't see them happen that week or that month or that year. I don't know about you, but I don't always like to wait. In fact, I never like to wait. And that's why patience is a virtue. No, but the reality is that, you know what? We believe the right things, many of us. We step out on that faith. And then when we don't see it happen, when we want it to happen and the way we want it to happen, all of a sudden we abandon our faith, and then we never reach the point where God wants us to get. And the point God wants us to get is to that harvest, to that blessing, to that manifestation of God's goodness, where, remember, the hand has now brought what is in the invisible world into the visible world, and I am visibly experiencing it.
Y'all follow me today. Too many people fail to understand that there's a process of faith. And there is time sometimes between the time you step out on your faith and the time you see God answer. Some of you today, you've been real faithful. Now is not the time to stop being faithful. Faithful on your job. Pastor, you don't understand. I have been at my job for 6 years. Actually, I just celebrated finishing my 13th year at the Rock Church. Amen. God is good. But I can't stop now. I can't be like, well, but Jesus, but I don't like Antonio. Or I don't like what's going on. Or I don't like these decisions. Or I don't like what's happening. Or I don't like what I see. I don't like how so-and-so treats. And I'm going to stop being faithful now because I haven't seen what I want to see. Some of you have been very hardworking. Some of you have been very patient. And you haven't seen what God has for you. But now is not the time to give up, cave in, and quit. Now's not the time to run out of steam. Now's not the time to slow down. Now's the time to continue being faithful because my Bible says, and this is where I need an organ player. My Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, in verse number 9, don't get weary in well-doing. Because in due season, you will reap the harvest. See, there's a spiritual law, and what you sow, you will reap. God is not mocked, the Bible says. And so you're not going to sow something that you're not going to reap one day. But you've got to stay faithful, and you've got to continue to allow your beliefs to govern what you think, say, and do all the way through until you lay hold of what God has for you. There's a process of faith. There's time sometimes between the time you step out on your faith and God answers your prayer. God answers what you've been looking for. God meets your need. Don't get me wrong, because the moment you step out on faith is the moment God goes to work. And some things will be instant, but there are other things that you're going to have to walk out in faith. Now's not the time to give up on your ministry. Now's not the time to draw back in your marriage relationship. Pastor Joe, I believe that God said that, you know, we're supposed to love, but you just don't understand who I'm married to. I didn't even know who I was marrying. You need to continue to love. Love never fails, the Bible says. And sooner or later, God's going to do work in your marriage relationship and turn around. It's going to be a blessing to your life. But you've got to continue through the process of faith. Hello? And so we need to understand that there's a process of faith. Just because you and I believe it and act on it doesn't mean that we'll see the harvest immediately. God does go to work immediately, all right? But we don't always see the results right away. And so Galatians 6:9 tells us this. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Notice, you cannot lose heart. Don't lose heart. Listen, today, if you're, you know, let's do this because I'm done. Let me have everybody stand to their feet. And yeah, you can come up, Joel. And I'm just going to pray for those of you today who feel weary. Because God is a great God. And God knows how to strengthen our hearts and encourage us and give us what we need for the moment, so that we continue on and lay hold of what God has. And so I'm just going to pray for those of you who, feel discouraged or weary or whatever, so that God can strengthen you. So you don't give up on your faith. You don't lose heart, but you receive what God has for you. So come on, everybody, just bow your heads right now and close your eyes. Father, we thank you today for the word of God. Lord, we thank you for this exhortation of faith. And Lord, we understand that there are times in all of our lives where we grow weary. God, where we know what to believe. We believe the right thing. And Lord, we've stepped out on that. But Father God, we get tired. Lord, because the reality is, and you said this in your word, that we are flesh. God, we are not God. We are not all sufficient. And so, Father, sometimes the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But Father, you said that you are the strength of our life and our portion forever. And God, just like Peter, he had this great, you know, endeavor of faith, and he said, Jesus, if it's you, I want you to call out to me, and I'll walk on the water just like you do. And so you said, come on, and Peter got out of the boat. But when Peter got out of the boat, he began to look at the wind and the waves, and Peter began to sink in his endeavor of faith. But God, you still didn't leave him then. You didn't leave him there to sink. You didn't leave him there to drown. You didn't climb back in the boat and say, well, let's see how good you can do now. The Bible says that Peter cried out, and Lord, you grabbed him by the hand and you pulled him back up again. And so God, whoever it is today that's weak in their faith, whoever it is today that has gotten caught up in fear, or gotten caught up with their surroundings, or what our natural senses tell us, Lord, and they're beginning to sink in their faith, God, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you'd reach down right now and lift up their heart. You'd reach down right now and lift them up, God. You'd reach down right now and you would encourage them. Lord, you'd strengthen their heart, Lord, that you would give them direction for the areas of their life and where you'd have them to go. And God, help us all to continue in doing well, because our doing well is not in vain, but we shall reap if we don't lose heart. And thank you, Jesus, that you are the strength of our heart and our life and our portion forever. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.